I'll say Rain Valodi in really
And if they
quickly.
don't get in line, yeah, I mean, very quick, yeah. You know, it was an afternoon conversation, and she folded like origami, right? I mean, she was
Like a cheap
easy.
suit.
Or Bond was, or Bond, or Bond. After many years, they just finally realized, okay, we have to engineer this guy out. So how do we engineer him out? First, let's hold back the money. Let's put a squeeze on their economy, and then let's work on the electorate. Let's find a guy as well. Let's find someone that we can put out in front, and let's work on the electorate to get this guy out of office. And they did it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's but you know, the playbook is basically the same. Country after country after country.
Yeah, I mean, you know, once it's a sit, but once they have their teeth in a country, they don't let go.
No, they don't.
I mean, Greece is never coming back from what it had, that fighting spirit, say before 2008, 2007. It's never come back.
No, it hasn't.
Cyprus the same. Hungary's going to be the same. Every country. Once they get their hooks in you, it's game over.
Yeah, that's a sad thing. Europe is becoming a bland biomass. I think I
Yeah,
don't know how else to describe it. One big bland biomass.
it's a biomass that's preparing for a big smash in a couple of years with Russia. So,
Well, maybe that crisis will bring things back. Nothing like a collapse of society to wake people
look,
back up.
yeah. Well, the United States is going to be watching on. China will be watching on as they see Europe smash with Russia.
Well, the United States is
Right.
going to be doing more than just watching on. They're going to be making
Oh, you
a lot
know.
of cha-ching.
Sure, yeah. They'll be fueling it and maybe funding it. They'll be making a lot of money, but at the end of the day, it'll be Europe collapsing in on itself again. The more
Yeah.
things change, the more they stay the
Oh,
same.
what
Right.
was it? The first time history repeats itself as a tragedy. The second time it's a farce.
Yeah, we're at the
Which one are
farce.
we on now?
We're on
How
the
many
farce. Yeah, no
farces?
doubt. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. We're on the farce. Yeah.
The far side.
Yeah, we'll see if they take us there. Yeah, we'll see if they take us there. If they have the ability to take us there.
Yeah,
Right.
the British were all up in a tizzy that. There was a Russian destroyer that was doing gunnery 40 miles off of the British shoreline, which is international waters.
Yeah.
The worst part for
What?
them, I think that one destroyer could sink most of the British fleet.
Yeah, well, considering everything that the UK has done to Russia, I mean, it's nothing what Russia is doing.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
How many storm shadows have been fired into Russia pre-2014? I'm not even saying Crimea and Donbass. I'm saying pre-2014 Russia. How many storm shadows have been fired into those areas? How much damage have they done? And Russia's response, for which the UK is whining about, is a ship that was 40 miles off the coast,
Oh yeah.
firing some rounds.
They're also angry as the media back in 2023 saying that Russia has stolen the fish and chips from the average British chef. Well, and I don't understand why this lasted to 2023. I understand who signed it. It was Yeltsin, but they had an agreement with the UK allowing UK fishermen to fish Russian waters unlimited. And not paying a single penny in taxes to the Russian government. Yeltsin signed that, but the agreement
Well,
lasted 2023.
that's why they loved Yeltsin in the West. That's why he was their boy. That's why Clinton was jamming with Yeltsin, and he was palling around and hugging Yeltsin, right? And Yeltsin was drunk off his ass, so many times he had no idea what the hell was going on, but still, they liked it.
I'm questioning whether he was ever sober.
Yeah, that's the kind of leader they like for Russia. They like the Yeltsins. They like these guys. They like the Saakashvilis. They like all these guys. They like the clowns,
Do you
right?
honestly think that they're thinking they're going to get another clown in power in Russia?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, I mean, they're
You know
not.
what yeah, what can I say? I don't think so. But look, I think this time around they're not going to just if they were to make inroads into Russia. Let's go down this rabbit hole. If they were to get there, they're not going to just stop at a Yeltsin. No, they're going to break the freaking thing up
Oh
this
yeah.
time around. Just like we talked about Hungary, they're not going to risk it. They're not going to risk another Orban. They're not going to risk another Putin. That goes
Yeah.
without question. Yeah.
Well, the point is, if they get rid of Putin, they're risking somebody a hell of a lot worse than that facing it.
Maybe, who knows? You know, we say that. Everyone says it's going to be if Putin were to go, it's going to be someone much more hard line. I don't know. No one knows. No one knows. Never underestimate the West, the United States. Never underestimate the networks that they have. Never underestimate the people that are on the payroll. Never underestimate the NGOs, the universities, the think tanks. They're everywhere. So everyone says it'll be a hardliner or this and that, but who knows? Did anyone see Delcy Rodriguez coming?
Delcy
No, no one saw
Rodriguez.
that. No one saw kidnapping Maduro and at the end of the day, it was Delcy Rodriguez who sold him out.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
No one saw it. Not even Maduro saw it.
Yeah, but Latin America has that little problem.
Well,
Everybody wants
we
to be the
say,
general,
look, we say that, but
Generalismo.
Europe has a very turbulent history as well. Right, there's always been a lot of palace intrigue and backstabbing and stuff like that in Europe. It's all over the world. I would say it's not even a continent or a country thing. It happens everywhere. But the United States has those tools. Like Ursula says, we've got tools. The Europeans, they don't have these types of tools. Russia doesn't have these tools. China doesn't have these tools. But the United States has these things. They have the ally network. They have the networks of media, of the information space, of the nonprofits, of the intel. So I don't think anything like that is going to happen. I think the chances of something like that happening are very, very low, slim to none. But if something like that were to happen, I would say don't bet on someone coming in who's going to be more hard line than Putin. And even a hard liner can be turned, right? There
It
there's
could,
ways
it
to get to
could.
everyone. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the best path forward for Russia, I would say, is for Putin to finish this thing out. Right?
Yeah, it would be a good thing to do with a military victory. I think that's the only
Yeah.
option.
Whether it's military or diplomacy, they have the goals of the SMO. They constantly say we're going to achieve our goals of the SMO. We know what the goals of the SMO are. They should achieve it. The more you wait, the more of an opening you give.
Oh, very true. Well, we just had the meeting in Milan between actually, I think one of the few times the actual foreign ministries have met with each other under Trump
Yeah.
versus having third party non-government types businessmen, all American
Yeah.
finance from both sides. Because
Yeah.
Dimitrov is a Goldman Sachs man, so his extensive background.
Yeah. I mean, it's good that the foreign ministries are speaking, both the Secretary of State and the Foreign Minister. I prefer that to the Witkoff Kushner model.
Jeez, yeah.
But the meeting was short.
35
It does
minutes.
seem like it was pretty, yeah, it seems like it was pretty contentious. I imagine much of it was not really about Ukraine. I imagine a lot of it was about Iran. Actually, I'm pretty confident that the meeting was about Iran and the report about Russia helping Iran to strike CIA facilities.
Shocking.
You know, there's no look, everything was lined up. It's not a coincidence that
Yeah, of course.
that article came out on the same day that you had the summit, knowing that Rubio would be at the same location with Lavrov, and Rubio could then call a meeting with Lavrov. So I mean, everything was set up so that Lavrov could address this, so that Rubio could address this with Lavrov. I imagine Rubio gave Lavrov an ultimatum, told him to knock it off. I imagine Lavrov told him, "You guys need to knock off what you're doing." And I think they got on their planes and they all went back home. And
It
yeah,
went home. Things continue on as they
and yeah.
continue.
Well, you know what Russia should expect from the United States is that the U.S. is going to go back and they're going to say, okay, what can we do to turn up the pain for Russia a little bit more? I think that's what they're going to do, right? I mean, you know, there's not going to be a compromise or anything. They're going to figure out ways to turn up the pain to Russia.
Which is interesting because Russia has lots of ways it can turn up the pain for the U.S. Whether they do it or not, that's a whole different
I was going to say the same thing. Russia has a lot of ways of the Russia has a lot of ways to exercise its leverage, not only with the U.S. but especially on Europe, without having to go to war. Because everyone, whenever I say this, everyone says, "Oh, you want World War III? You want an attack?" I've never, ever, ever said that I want Russia to attack Europe ever, ever. But there are certain asymmetric things that Russia could do in order to send the message, don't mess with us.
Russia could
Hundreds of
easily,
things they could do. Yeah.
they could create an incident with the British or the French in the open seas and take them down, take down a couple cutters.
Well, they don't even have to take down. They could just seize a ship and
Yeah.
then release it after 2 days, like what Macron does, right? He takes a ship, holds it for 2 days, and then releases it. I mean, they could do, you know, dumb stuff like that. Okay, it is dumb, and I'm sure the Russians are probably saying, "Why do we want to waste our time doing these stupid things?" But I mean, that's just one silly thing that they could do, just to mess around with the Europeans. But there's so many other things that they could do. You know, they don't,
Yeah,
and the West knows that. That's the thing. They know that, and they bet on that, and they understand that.
absolutely. I know, I absolutely agree. I've been saying from day one that Russia should have had a hard response. All of this would have been over a long time ago. But
Yeah, I mean,
unfortunately.
it can have a soft response. You know, look at the media space. So you still have the BBC floating around in Moscow.
I know.
You know, what are they
CNN
doing there?
also.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see the Russian media floating around in the European capitals.
Oh, that
I
would be
never,
like freedom of speech or something.
you know, I see Putin. Well, I see Putin getting questions from NBC and BBC all the time when he does his year-end events. I never ever see Trump getting a question, or Ursula or Merz or whatever getting a question from Russia 24 or whatever, Izvestia or TASS or something like that. Never, because they're not there,
I know.
right?
RT's banned. I mean, flat out banned.
Yeah, I
That's
mean,
part of that
yeah,
free speech
yeah. So,
umbrella.
you know, and I understand the Russian arguments. You know, if they do it to us, why should we do it to them? You know, we have nothing to hide. We want to engage with the West. I understand all that stuff, but and that's good. In a perfect world, that's the way you want to be. But the elite in Europe don't see it like that.
Nope.
They don't see it as strength. Even though it is strength, it's stronger to say, just because you're kicking us out, we're not going to kick you out. That is the strong way to go.
Oh,
But the way
absolutely.
the globalist elites see it in Europe, they see it as weakness. And they get emboldened by it.
Yep. Absolutely.
Unfortunately, this is the way these people think. That's the way the neocons think.
You're right. And that's the worst part is, I still don't think that a large part of the Russian government, or the elites understand who they're dealing with or want to understand who they're dealing with.
I don't know. I go go back and forth on this. Sometimes I think they have a clear understanding. Sometimes I think they're completely, clueless. I mean, I don't know. Going back to between love, I did shows and I said that to a more proper way of engagement between the United States and Russia, which is the U.S. Department of State engaging the Foreign Ministry of Russia. That's a proper and better way to move the conversation forward.
Yeah.
And what does Peskov say today in a statement? He says, "Well, we're going to invite Witkoff and Kushner very, very soon to Moscow, and I'm going to announce the date anytime now." I mean, it's like you take one step forward, and then he takes two steps back. What are you going to talk to Kushner and Witkoff about? Just let Lavrov handle this. Just
Wait a
give
minute, wait a
him
minute.
the damn keys to the car and let him drive.
Alex, there's the bridge or the tunnel to Alaska. Isn't that the deal on
This
the
nonsense stuff. Yeah, this is nonsense.
table?
Yeah, I
A
mean,
tunnel that's gonna
I
bring
couldn't believe
everybody
what I was
together
hearing from
and
Peskov. Ah, I couldn't believe what I was hearing from him. Well, just so I understand, we're going to have Witkoff and Kushner flying into Moscow at 1 o'clock in the morning so they can sit with Putin for 4 or 5 hours all night so that Putin can tell them it's pronounced Lugansk and not Lugansk or Zaporozhye. I mean, right? And then Peskov's going to come and give a statement and say, "We spent 5 hours explaining our position and helping Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner understand how we see things." It's like, why?
I know.
You have a foreign ministry for a reason, and the United States has a State Department for a reason. Both sides, they have these institutions are there for a reason. Just let them do their thing.
I know. But I mean, if you think about it, even as a bag man, this has been a failure to try to get him in, try to get around the these sanctions, try to engage the U.S. in some kind of long-term economic policy. This has been a total failure. It's been a year and a half, and what does it have to show for itself?
Well, it's been successful for the U.S.
Oh
Actually, I
yeah,
think, look, for
buying
me,
time.
my position on this is very clear. Some people don't like it, but my position is crystal clear on this, and maybe I'm wrong. But I believe that over the past year, when Trump has been president, he has managed to wrestle away Russia's deterrence, and he has bought time. He's delayed Putin for a year. Now, Russia is winning in the war in Ukraine. There's no doubt about it. They're winning. There's not a person on earth with an IQ over 50 who doesn't understand that Russia is winning the conflict.
There's a lot of people with IQs lower than 50,
Sure,
though.
there are, and some of them are in very powerful positions,
Yes, they are.
but Russia is capturing cities. Zelensky is firing defense ministers. He's firing generals. The economy's a mess. The country has protests. I mean, it's clear as day that Ukraine is crumbling. It's crumbling. Russia is winning the war in Ukraine, but the problem that Putin has, and he's going to see it in front of him. I think Russia's going to be dealing with this for many, many years. I hope I'm wrong. It is that they've given the West a carte blanche to strike at Russia when they want, however they want.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I agree. And
D
Russia
take
will
Ukraine off the
respond.
table.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even if Ukraine is wrapped up and the war is over, the West still has that in their back pocket.
Yeah. The no matter what they do, even when it's flying through or out of Estonia or Finland, the strikes are only in Ukraine. So Ukraine's a whipping boy.
Yeah,
And
well,
the Euros don't
exactly.
have to worry.
Exactly. And even if Russia goes and they capture Kiev or they capture Odessa or they go all the way to Lviv, whatever, the collective West is never, ever going to stop. They're never going to just say, "Okay, the conflict is over. Let's sign some sort of a treaty or some sort of an agreement." No, they're never going to get there. And even if they do sign something like that, they're never going to honor it. And they're always going to have in their back pocket, "We can send a drone into Russia. We can send them as we can do something." and you're not going to do anything, and they know that. And they can keep something like that going for decades. And I think that is the worrying part, because this is where the West excels. This is where the US is at its best, is when they have enough time and space to chip away at a country until they find that opening to then really collapse it. I think this is where the United States is at the top of its game, because they have
Yeah.
all of these tools at their disposal. And whether you're talking about Syria or Libya, Iran, I think Iran is in danger of this, which is why they're holding on to the Strait of Hormuz as leverage for dear life, because there's the understanding that once the United States has something over you and has leverage over you, then they'll take 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and they'll just keep on chipping away
Yep.
and hitting and poking, and eventually something's going to get through.
Yep. Oh, you're right. This is what I keep explaining on Russian media to other people. Look, they don't have a plan. They've got five or six plans. Plan A gets to a certain two, three steps in, comes to a crash. Okay, start plan B, start plan C, and usually two or three plans at a time. And when they can get one further in, they go for the other one. And it's back and forth. A lot of people don't want to. They don't want to face that. This is
Yeah, and it's
this is the
yeah.
feeling I get.
No, yeah, and it's not about, wars or even launching missiles or having some sort of a conflict. It's that the West has all types of other mechanisms at their disposal that they can throw at a competitor.
Yep.
Like Assad. Assad wasn't defeated militarily. It wasn't a war. He wasn't defeated by HTS and Al Jolani. It was a coup, but it was a coup that took many years to shape and to form. They had to get rid of the Syrian loyal guard to Assad's father. All of these old school type of guys that would die for the country and protect the country and were very loyal to Assad's father. And that they fought and prevented a collapse from happening earlier. They had to get those guys out. They had to get other people in. They had to move Syria away from Russia and from BRICS, which is why Assad, whenever he was invited to participate in these events, he never went. And they courted Assad with the GCC and with the Gulf countries, and they were in on it. And eventually they created the dynamic so that Assad was isolated and weak. And then they moved in for the kill,
Yeah,
and they got it.
absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was masterfully done. I mean, honestly, when you look at the units, the veteran units that he disbanded,
Yeah.
the new guys he had in that didn't have training, he refused Russian training, he refused Russian equipment, he refused Russian investment in his country and Chinese investment. It would have created jobs.
Exactly. I remember Russia was so frustrated with everything. China was frustrated with everything that was going on. I remember when Russia invited Syria, they invited Assad to the Kazan BRICS, and he didn't go. And everyone's like scratching their heads, going, "What's wrong with this guy?" And instead, he opted to hang out with the GCC countries, and he wanted back into the GCC, and he wanted to pal around with all of them,
Oh, he could
without
go pal
understanding
around with
that,
him at any time now, while he's living in one of his apartments in Moscow.
well, he didn't understand that these guys are not your friends, man. They're going to turn on you, right? That's exactly what they did.
If it was his brother that was in power, none of this would have happened, or his father. He
Well,
was a weak man. He is a weak man.
look, I think he just got tired. I mean, he held up, but I just think that he just lost. He lost his. That will to continue, I think. He got worn down.
Well, he
He
made
got
stupid
worn down,
decisions.
I believe. Yeah. And he made stupid decisions, and it's, look, every leader, or most leaders, the whole the shiny, West the West that
Internet. Come on.